Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, February the 2nd, 2016. I currently have 5:13 p.m. We're a little bit tardy in getting started today. We have quorum now. And so a couple of things I'd like to accomplish is that we're going to continue our discussion on commercial zoning and any amendments to the general plan, design guidelines, and code as it relates to that, land use ordinances, and we're going to get into that. I am going to deviate slightly, and we have one of our residents here, Mrs. Deanne Nelson. And so she would like to take some time, and so I'm going to give her some public comments time. And she wants to talk about, she lives down in Temple Shadows, and wants us to give some thoughts about that. So, Mrs. Nelson, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the microphone and then stating your name, your address, and then you have 3 minutes to say whatever you would like.
Wow, this is an opportunity. Is this on? My name is Deanne Nielsen. That's spelled D-E capital A-N-N. Nielsen is N-I-E-L-S-E-N. My address is 9712 Peach Court, Cedar Hills, 84062, and that is in Temple Shadows. The reason I'm here is I've just been asked to serve as the liaison between Temple Shadows and the city. We are not going to war with you. We are just wanting to be informed wherever possible and to be of use wherever possible. So if we could, we'd like this to be a two-way dialogue, and I don't think it's going to take much from me, or you'll not be hearing much from me at all, but I can keep our board informed. I just came from their meeting. The only issue they brought up was there is a drainage issue from the roundabout going south to behind Temple Shadows on the west. And when that happens, and with the runoff coming, we foresee that it could be a problem. There is not a drain. There is not an outlet there to take on that water. We have had it come close to the homes before, but never into them. So I would ask that you would put that on your agenda. Your mayor has told me about where you are on water, and we have nothing else, but if you would keep my address, I would like to attend these meetings as needed or wanted. If you have any message for me, please feel free to call. I don't believe I gave you my phone number. It's 801-763-1970. Like I say, I'd like this to be two-way if needed. If not, I will just go on my business and leave you alone without any further interruption. I may kind of explain that I'm not sure this is the meeting I should come to or the council meeting at 7. Did we agree this 7 o'clock would be the better meeting?
It is.
Okay, that's what I will do in the future. I came to your last one, and it was blizzarding up here, and I couldn't find you. So, that's what I have. If you have any questions of what our purpose is.
Do you have an email address?
I do have a couple. Thank you, sweetheart.
I do. It is tennisanyone.dn.gmail.com.
David, are you adding her to the distribution list? So what you're going to be getting, Mrs. Nelson, is we send out a list of the we send out our agenda for our meetings.
Okay.
To anyone that's been put on our list. So we won't be calling you,
okay,
asking you to show up. But when you read our agenda for our meetings, if you see something there that's of interest to you or anyone down in Temple Shadows,
okay,
then feel free to show up and talk.
I did garner from your newsletter 3 items that we were going to put into our newsletter. One, just to point out to them how they can go on the paperless billing. I think that's an important thing. Secondly was 2 other things. I don't remember what they were. That's all we're trying to do is get some dialogue going back and forth.
Let me ask a couple of questions. So
sure.
When you say on the roundabout, do you mean east of the roundabout by Heritage Park where there's that dry irrigation type ditch?
They indicated that's the one that was coming right down the road from the roundabout going south.
David, do you know what she's talking about?
I don't.
Because she's saying that at the back of Temple Shadows, then it has the potential for flooding some of the homes. I'm not familiar with that area, but with the amount of snow that we've gotten this year, and if we do have a high runoff, then we want to maybe be on top of that. So.
So if it was just coming down like 46,
I don't know.
West.
When you say roundabout, we have
the one directly east. I don't know if there are others in the city directly east of Walmart.
Okay.
Right near the rest home there.
Yeah, that drainage would have a really hard time making it clear to Temple Shadows. That's for sure.
They tell me it has. I'm sorry, sir. I don't know any more than that.
I'll come out there and look at it with you.
What I think they're trying to do is prophylactic. Let's address the issue before it happens. So that would be great. If I could just tell them that you're going to look into it, that would be all we would ask.
We absolutely will.
Thank you. Is there anything further?
We're good.
Thank you for your time. Nice to meet all of you.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, I want to pick up a little bit of where we left off on Saturday. Daniel says there are some zoning issues that he would like to maybe touch on. And so I'm going to allow that. I tried to allow for much more time this year for our budget planning meetings. And Jenny, do you feel like there was an adequate amount of time? Well, we had Friday, we had Saturday, and now we plan additional 2 hours tonight.
Yeah, that's good.
And so, so we'll try and give additional time each year, so maybe the Friday before and then the Saturday. I'm not sure we're going to need the following Tuesday. And so we'll kind of play that by ear. And so we may not be using up all of our time tonight, but we will do the best we can. So, Daniel, you said you may have some thoughts that you'd like to share, so go right ahead.
Sure. I think what might be helpful, since we have this time set aside anyway, would be I would like to read through a list of uses for our commercial zone. And here I'm thinking the high intensity uses, so that the city owned property and over by Hearts. And I will read out a use and suggest a classification as either permitted or conditional. And if you all agree, just nod your heads, yeah, let's keep going. And if you disagree, speak up and let me know if you think we ought to do something differently.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with hardware store. And I'm going to say that sure sounds like a permitted use to me.
Now, are we talking about big box or any size hardware store?
I'm talking, that's a really good question.
Because Home Depot could be considered a hardware store.
Yeah, so here I'm not talking big box.
Okay.
I'm talking, we'll put big box into a separate class.
So like maybe like
so
an
like
Ace Hardware
or something like that. Would we need a conditional use permit on that to make sure they're not doing things like storing stuff outside, or do we just put that into our regulations that cover all stores? And hey, you got a store, we're not going to let you store merchandise outside, just like we did at Walmart.
I think that should be a requirement for any store there.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Okay, so next one, computer supplies and parts retail. So you're thinking like Radio Shack, Best Buy. I'm thinking, sure, that would be a permitted use. Grocery store, permitted use.
What?
This is not a superstore.
Just a regular
big box.
Grocery
We're
store.
Talking just a regular grocery store. If they wanted to come in, I think we would say yes.
Grocery store like Macy's or Smith's?
Yeah.
You would want to do that conditional to talk about things like truck delivery times and parking lots and all that kind of stuff?
That's a good question.
Because they're going to have deliveries coming in like Walmart does. I would consider that one a conditional.
I will concur.
How about Dollar Tree? Do they deliver at night? Because every once in a while at 3 a.m. I'll see their delivery truck parked up at the park and ride here at the mouth of the canyon. I'm thinking that the driver's just in there sleeping.
The interesting thing about Dollar Tree is that we didn't really approve Dollar Tree. We just approved that development,
That's
not
right.
knowing what was coming in.
Yeah.
David, help us out here, or Chandler. When we approve a retail pad being built, do they then need to come back for a conditional use permit when they have a particular use, once they've decided, oh, now we're going to lease this to Dollar Tree?
They wouldn't come to this body for a conditional use.
They'd go to the Planning Commission?
They'd go to the Planning Commission.
Have they come to the Planning Commission?
Yeah, they've gone to the Planning Commission.
Only for site plan, though, right?
No, they've got their final approval.
For a Dollar Tree in particular? I don't know. I've never heard of anything that gets approved by the Planning Commission without also coming to the...
No, the conditional use permits are specifically designated to the Planning Commission and the City Code.
Okay. And did they talk about delivery hours with Dollar
Tree? Can you be talking to the mic down there, please?
I don't recall seeing an application, but I don't know what would preclude them from getting a conditional use permit, to be honest.
No, I don't know that what would preclude them as well.
Okay.
I'm just saying...
No, when they make permit, their application for a business license permit, we would take that to the Planning Commission, since it's in the SC1 zone, and we'd take that to the Planning Commission and say their application is for an SC1 zone commercial conditional use permit. And that's actually delegated, if you look in the code, it's 9-1-B, that the Planning Commission approves all conditional use permits. That's one of the powers delegated to the Planning Commission. So it'd show up on their agenda as a review action, not a review recommendation.
So I assume it would be helpful, as we revise the code, to list the specific conditions we expect someone to meet.
Yeah.
Things
now,
like deliveries,
yeah,
hours
so,
of deliveries, and things like this.
Yeah, so most cities, not including ours, have code regarding specifically conditional use permit. They have a section of code that discusses what conditions can be placed on the project, how those conditions are imposed. They have a whole section of code. We don't have anything other than saying that the Planning Commission approves okay. the conditions. So this is something that this body and the Planning Commission are both going to need to discuss. And I also like the idea of making some of these conditions, because there's a lot of things that are conditional uses, making some of them administrative so as to not bog down a Planning Commission meeting with something like an accessory dwelling unit, when really it's something up to the planning and building that should probably approve something like that. And I've been looking at some code, so that I'm hoping to have that present something to the Planning Commission probably next month. Or
great.
Actually this month, I should say. It's February.
Specifically
talking about conditional use permit code. Yeah.
Great.
So I would still leave that one conditional then to
yeah.
the Planning Commission for things like delivery times and such.
I've made a note. The next one is dairy products. Which would
what
be
did you say?
Dairy products.
Oh.
So here, I looked this up because I was thinking, dairy products, what are they doing? And it's specifically selling packaged dairy goods, so like selling milk and things like that.
Are there stores that don't
dairy.
Do that?
Yeah, there used
dairy.
To be. Yeah, there are a few.
I guess Cache Valley Cheese Factory.
Sure.
Okay.
So...
Winder Dairy, do they do? They only do wholesale, right? Or do they
no.
do?
No, they do. Yeah.
They have a storefront.
Yeah.
I've never seen.
And you're right about Cache Valley Cheese. I know they have a retail operation too.
Yeah.
Winder Dairy has a facility in West Valley.
Yeah.
So you can go and buy stuff.
It's like the Cache Valley Cheese Factory.
So I'm assuming that we would list this under conditional use as well, for the same reasons that they're going to be making deliveries.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see if I can get connected back up here and make that work. Bakeries and donut shops.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Two thumbs up there.
Why would we not?
And so maybe what we need to talk about here then is, yes, all these things would be conditional anytime you have deliveries or other things that we would specify, hours and things like that. So I'm assuming this also would fall under conditional. Some bakeries might have a delivery truck that would come. So similar thing. What about a tire store? I'm assuming conditional because we have to talk to them about disposal of hazardous products like oil and so on.
I agree. A tire store brings with an inherent... trash.
You got environmental risks and
there you go.
Yeah. So the last one I mentioned, computer, was computer supplies and parts, which I'm assuming would be like a computer repair shop. They actually have a separate category for computer retail, just selling computers.
I would just lump all that together.
Yeah, I would too when I do this. I'm just going over somebody else's code. I think this is Pleasant Grove's code. And they're listed under separate uses in the use table that they get these from. I'm assuming that would be permitted. And we wouldn't have too many worries there about a conditional use permit. Restaurant.
Yes.
Is that conditional because they may also take deliveries? Or is that permitted?
I guess if there's any chance that they're going to be doing business after a certain time, we probably should make it conditional.
I agree.
Especially if they're going to be near those homes at all.
Yeah, so question for David and Chandler. When we talk about conditional use permits and we have some specific concerns, like, for example, delivery hours with trucks, do we just make everything conditional that we think might have deliveries? Or do we have a separate section of code that says if you're going to make deliveries, you need a conditional use permit for that? And it applies to all uses in the table. How do you structure the code?
I think the second one.
The second one.
Yeah. If you're going to use deliveries, you're going to need a conditional use for deliveries.
You can otherwise build your store, but if you have this thing.
But most retails, most uses in that zone that you've listed, they all fit into this realm of businesses that need a delivery at some point.
Right.
Whether it's dairy or computers. I mean, I don't know that necessarily matters what's in the delivery, just the timing of the delivery.
Right. So maybe let's take a short side channel here and talk about what are the things we feel need to go through a conditional use permitting process. Deliveries is one I think we're hearing over and over again. Hours of operation. They want to operate past 10 p.m. before 6 a.m. something like that. Parking, if that parking is adjacent to single family homes.
Lighting. A lighting plan.
Lighting. Everybody's going to need lighting.
Yeah, everyone's going to need a conditional use because we want to regulate that and make sure that it's dark sky lighting, that it doesn't have.
Can't we just mandate that it's dark sky lighting? That if you put in lighting, it must be dark sky?
We could do that, but you could also mandate delivery times. You could also mandate hours of operation. I mean, I don't know where the line is where you say, I guess if you thought of a condition that wouldn't necessarily have to be met, but if it did occur, then they need the conditional use. Maybe those are the issues we put on conditional use.
Right, whereas things where everybody needs it, like lighting, then you say, okay, here's what you need to do.
And parking. I mean, everybody has to have parking.
Yes. And same thing, a buffer like a landscape buffer between single-family homes.
Yeah.
So we can just mandate these things that we know are going to be issues and mandate that those are dealt with. And then conditional uses for if you need deliveries. Okay. After-hours operation, things like that. Okay.
There's going to be I don't know what retail business, I'm trying to think of what would need, what business would not need a delivery of some kind. I'm trying to think of any store.
H&R Block.
There you go.
A service.
Yeah, a service.
Yeah, they may need.
Sure, I'm sure they've delivered. Their delivery is probably just coming on a FedEx truck rather than a big semi.
Which we can't.
But Mike, I assume this is more developer friendly if we say that a restaurant is a permitted use, and then you have a conditional permit if you need deliveries. As opposed to saying, look, this is all conditional and you're going to have to negotiate with us.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is ice cream establishment.
Absolutely.
I think we're on board with having ice cream shop coming in. And again, subject to those conditional use permits that we've talked about for deliveries. drugstore. I'm assuming we would be fine if Walgreens wanted to come to town. Antiques and secondhand merchandise retail.
You mean like a thrift store?
This would be this secondhand merchandise would cover thrift store, or it would also antiques covers antique shops.
Also covered. There's a lot of secondhand clothing, higher end clothing stores around town, especially around AF.
Yeah. There's been some that have tried to come into PG and then they go out of business over there by.
I'm sure it's a tough business. I don't know anything about it. But
antique shops.
No, secondhand clothing stores and secondhand and consignment shops have come in and out of there.
A lot of consignment stuff.
So is Pleasant Grove not favorably disposed to that type of business? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they've allowed them to come in and they have not succeeded very well.
That's a different issue. That's
a different issue.
That's a business model.
Yes.
But from what I can tell, it doesn't attract a certain type of customer that is undesirable.
No.
Nor do I think there are any impacts on the neighborhood that would be different from any other kind of store.
I agree.
I'd have a hard time saying, let's deny this just because it's that type of store.
Yeah,
I don't think okay. Bookstores. I cannot possibly leave here tonight without saying yes to a bookstore.
They'll need deliveries.
art gallery. I don't see any reason why we would say no to an art gallery.
Sounds good to me.
Oh. Sporting goods store. I think I'm the same there.
Sure.
Photography store.
Same. All of these.
These are all like, yes.
These are all good.
Banks, insurance, real estate. Now here, this is a tricky question. Do we want that in that area, or do we want to say, no, that goes in the lower intensity area?
Lower intensity.
Do we want to try to preserve our retail for
retail? Yeah, I think that would do well on the east side of the smart property. Because if they have office buildings on the east side of the smart property, something like that.
And so the code here is office only, meaning it's not a retail location.
Yeah,
so would we want a bank back there?
If you're going to have it, that would be a great place for it to be.
Yeah, okay.
Because nothing, the offices don't generate retail sales either.
So I'll mark that as medium density only. Beauty and barbershop?
Yeah.
I think we're fine with that.
And this is all in the retail, right?
Yep. Apparel repair, alteration and cleaning, pickup services, shoe repair services. So this is shoe repair, dry cleaning, clothes repair.
Yeah.
I think we're all good with that.
I think dry cleaners are subject to a conditional use, though.
They are?
Ah.
Is it hazardous materials?
I think so.
Yes. I'll mark that as yellow. Wedding bureaus, reception centers, and wedding chapels. I would say no, because this is a retail area.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
But I would have no problem with that in the mixed-use area.
I wouldn't have a problem with that either.
Okay. Sound right? So I'll mark that as mixed-use. Library. I would also say mixed-use. Motion picture theater. I think I would say conditional use permit, high traffic. I don't think this type of store exists anymore, but there is a category for video rental or sale shops.
Red box.
I think you're right about that.
just a standalone
but I
red
would
box,
say that's huh? allowed. Parks and general recreation. I don't think these areas are zoned for that.
What did you call it?
Parks and general recreation.
You mean auto parts?
No, parks.
Oh,
P-A-R-K. Park.
Yeah.
I mean, I would certainly encourage a developer to put in things like a splash pad or an ice rink in a shopping area.
Yeah.
I think we have to be careful how we specify that.
Me too.
Only if it's in conjunction with something, a retail?
Yes. So I'll put that in as conditional use because there is a condition there. And then there is a separate category, which I will need to look up, which is parks, comma, leisure and ornamental, which I take to mean like a rose garden or an arboretum or something like that.
Oh.
I will look that up to see what that is. I would assume that would go under the same category. We'll allow it, but as a condition to retail. Now, these are listed in Pleasant Grove's condition. Those were all accepted uses in Pleasant Grove. Every one of those, even the ones we categorize as, we had a question.
Okay.
These are all on their conditional uses. So a gas service station, a gas station.
Conditional.
Would we really want a second one to come in?
No.
And this has been an issue. 7-Eleven wanted to build on that corner.
Yeah. But how do you say you can't have more than one?
Right. It's free enterprise.
It's difficult to do.
Yeah. Okay. Drive-in / fast food restaurant. I assume conditional just because of the high traffic. Farm and garden supplies. So I'm thinking like
a cow ranch?
A cow ranch or a cook's greenhouse or... Do we want that there? That's retail.
Sure.
So we'd be okay with that. Why would that be considered a conditional use?
Well, deliveries again.
Yeah, but we're going to cover that separately.
Oh.
Outdoor storage, because you probably have...
There's probably some hazardous materials that might...
Composting and things like that.
Yeah.
Composting is a problem, but I don't
think... That would be a big problem, but...
Like IFA type... stores.
Yeah, usually don't have it on site.
They're going to do it on site. They don't do it on site, do they, David?
Well, and stores like Cal Ranch and stuff.
But they have a lot of outdoor sales. If you go to IFA or Cal Ranch, there's
a lot of outdoor sales.
And I would put all outdoor sales as conditional use.
Yeah.
Because you want to see what that is.
And we'd want to restrict odor.
Walmart to have outdoor sales.
Huh?
There's nothing stinky at IFA, I promise. I've been there lots of times.
That's just because you're used to it.
What about Walmart?
Walmart has had outdoor sales, and we have allowed it.
Mm-hmm. Have we?
In the spring.
They sell all their flowers and stuff outside.
Absolutely, we do.
Okay. I seem to remember there being a big to-do about that when they came, and that we really heavily restricted what they could do outside.
I think it's restricted to what they can do. It can't be anything, but I know in the spring we do let them put all their flowers and stuff outside.
Okay. Car wash. I'm assuming that's a conditional use permit. And we're fine with that coming in. They have professional health care offices and clinics, medical and dentist office, which I assume that's mixed use. We don't want that in our high-intensity area. I don't know why that's considered a conditional use. What are you protecting against
that? Well, it could be urgent care that's open all night long.
Okay. Legal services, I assume that's mixed use. Engineering, architectural, and planning services, I'm assuming, again, mixed use. And I don't know what research services would cover, but that would be mixed use.
Ancestry.
And then there's data processing services. I think many of these categories are somewhat obsolete. But I'm going to put that as well as mixed use.
There are those businesses there.
Yeah, professional services, I'm assuming mixed use. Here's an interesting category, miniature golf. Do we want that in our retail area?
Like a boondocks?
If you think about it from a resident perspective, I think people would say, yeah, for our kids to do something. Because that's one of the complaints we get a lot here, right? Is there's nothing for the kids to do.
But do we want it in the retail area?
I don't know where else it would go. But boondocks would generate sales tax.
If there was a miniature boondocks or more appropriately... there used to be a place.
They're getting married.
Kind of.
Did you say they're getting married?
There was a place along the freeway that just got torn down recently. Trafalgar.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
I don't think this is realistic. That they
I don't
would
think it's realistic
here.
Either, but I'm trying to think if something like that were to happen, then where would it be best? And it really would be in the east part of the Smart property where it's least attractive for retail. I don't think it's realistic that it's going to come, but if you're going to put it somewhere, do you really want it in your best retail area?
But I would consider that a high-intensity use.
you would consider it a high intensity
use. I would too, and I would worry about noise primarily for neighbors.
A lot of shadow. I was going to say, with those deer, they didn't get married, they eloped.
So, conditional use then?
I definitely do conditional use, but I'm not sure where I would allow it.
I'm not sure I would either. But you have to allow it.
You don't have to allow it. You can say this is retail in one area and office in the other, and this is a different category.
Yeah.
So what category
it
is it?
Leisure.
It's leisure?
Whatever, entertainment.
So do we have...
But then the movie theater is the same thing.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
It would still generate sales tax.
It would not be as much traffic as a movie theater, and we've allowed the movie theater.
No.
And yes, it would generate sales tax.
And I think residents would like it because of the time of their kids to be. But again, I think it's highly unlikely. I would allow...
I'll put it for conditional.
I would allow a conditional use, too.
Sports activities facilities. Are we going to get a National Football League team here? Mm-hmm. We're going to try and get the Chargers to move
here.
Wait,
say that again. What is it?
Are you, sports activities facilities.
So you've been following the like Chargers situation, too? I thought it was just me and my son.
Oh, what happens if a CrossFit wants to come in there?
If what?
Like a CrossFit.
Or CrossFit. Yeah.
Like a baseball.
Show up all the time.
What do you talking about? Batting
cages?
That's what I'm
Batting cages.
Sorry, I'm not... Fiery.
That's okay.
No worries.
Yes, that one. To me, that's what I thought of when you said that.
Do we want to indicate that has a facility that has an emphasis on retail sales?
Yeah.
Sure. Rob, do you know what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
So that covered all the PGs. I'll go through some of Murray's because Murray has some additional categories that we didn't discuss. These are permitted in Murray. So one of them is paint, glass, and wallpaper. And I'm assuming
Jones paint.
That's
glass.
A yes. Yeah.
But that would be another probably
conditional because of the
hazardous materials.
Electrical supplies, which I'm thinking like a Radio Shack type place.
I love Radio Shack. Tons of retail sales here.
Hardware we've already talked about. Swimming pool supplies. I mean, there are some of these around on State Street. I mean, I doubt they would want to come here, but...
You mean that sell the chemicals and things in order to maintain a pool as opposed to fins and goggles and stuff?
I don't know. I'll put them conditional because I don't know what that includes.
Yeah.
Variety stores, not department stores.
So
I don't know what that
store?
Is.
It's not a
probably
store.
Like a Dollar Tree.
Probably a Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree, so we do.
Dry goods and general merchandise, not department stores.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming
like
that's a
Lehigh
yes.
Like Lehigh Roller Mills.
Yeah. Apparel and accessories, like a clothing store, I'm assuming that's a yes. Mm-hmm. If a Gap wanted to come here, I'd be thrilled. Even I don't even shop there. Furniture store, I'm assuming that's a yes. Floor coverings, draperies, china, glassware, metalware, window shades. So these are all like, you know, specialty stores for things that you would put in your home. And I'm assuming those are all yeses. Picture frames, like a framing shop, I'm assuming that's a yes. Household appliances. Someone came and wanted to sell, you know, Bosch, I'd be like, yes, come on in. Radios, televisions, and music sound systems. I feel like I'm in the 50s. That sounds like a yes. Office equipment, furniture, machines, and supplies sounds like a yes. Jewelry, I'm assuming, is a yes.
Yes.
Many of these. Massage therapy. That's a service. I'm assuming that's mixed use.
Assuming it's legitimate?
Assuming it's legitimate. Yes. Advertising services. I'm assuming that's office as well. I'm assuming we would not say yes to a charter school.
Why not?
What's that? Because this is in the retail area, and they're not going to sell anything. Pet grooming, I'm assuming, is okay. I think the well is run dry. Maybe vet, a veterinarian service. I'm assuming that's also mixed use. Okay. Mayor, I think that was a good exercise. But I think
that was a very good exercise. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think I'm finished with that.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. So that, I think, concludes our discussion on commercial zoning, unless someone would like to add any thoughts to that. So essentially, Daniel just went through lots and lots of conditional or permitted uses. Can anyone think of anything else that wasn't on his list that we would want to add to it?
No.
Nope. All good with that? Okay. Next, we have a discussion on amendments to the general plan and the guidelines for the design and review of the planned commercial development projects. Different category, but essentially very similar to what we just discussed. Does anyone have any thoughts about how we are going through the process of updating the language for the general plan, design guidelines, and the code? If you don't know, then we've been meeting almost every Thursday night at 7 to talk through some of these zoning issues. So right now it's just been Jenny and I and some staff and Daniel.
And
David Driggs from the Planning Commission. So, but if there's other council members that would feel a strong desire to be there, we can notice it, and you can be there. But if you say that, then we need you to show up. So I'm just saying that so that if you do want to come to any of these meetings, then you need to let us know in plenty of time that we can notice the meeting. But our plan is to go through the language on these three documents and have them updated by, was it the end of March that we're hoping for, or sooner than that? Or is that, David?
We need a draft by the end of February to
draft by the end of February, and then goes to Planning Commission, and then come back to the council by the end of March, right? Is that what our goal is?
That's the idea, yep.
That's the ideal. So does anyone have any questions on that timeline? Because can't have you come back to us, after February, and we've given it to the Planning Commission, say, I want to make a change. So this is your best time to be able to communicate thoughts and ideas regarding the language. Our 6 months is ticking away, and we need to get this done. And I think we're very focused on making sure that this gets done.
I would only ask that a draft be sent to the City Council when a draft is first available.
The timeline that we just went through is we want to have a draft available at the end of February to go to the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. So we would expect them to review it during the month of March. Would that be fair enough?
They're going to need to pass it by March.
Yeah. So they'll be able to make adjustments to it too, right?
They'll be able to make adjustments to it. That's their purpose. They'll take it and revise it from there.
Absolutely.
If we could have it back to us.
Okay.
If we could have a rough draft for the Planning Commission this month and give them a month to just discuss it and come back, because they've never discussed the general plan, and then come back with March, because we're only focusing on the SC1 element of the land use element here. If we could have some rough language to give to them this month that they could pass it next month with their public hearing, then it could come to the City Council in April or even March.
Mr. Crawley, does that answer your question?
I was just saying if even along the way sometimes someone just sent out what you have so far, that'd be interesting to look at, even if I can't make it to the Thursday meeting.
So yes.
If you could do that.
I share
awesome.
Everything I can.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
And this will be, this is intended to be a two-stage process. So what I'm intending to have ready in the next several weeks is taking our design guidelines document, and the Planning Commission has already made some changes to that, some suggested revisions. This process would be taking the things we've talked about and making the minimal set of changes I can make to that document to accomplish that goal. then we will, in the longer term, I'm thinking, you know, I would ideally like to do it by before August, is we would do a complete rewrite of our commercial code.
Mr. Bunker, do you think we could turn up the volume of our mics here?
Yep.
Thanks. Okay. So, Mr. Crawley, are you okay with that timeline?
Yes.
Mike? Mm-hmm. Jenny, you fine with that? Ben, you're fine with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that is our goals then, to get that done. So if you don't have any more questions on this area, then I want to move on. So last call. Any thoughts on zoning planning?
Has everybody had a chance to go through the Planning Commission's recommended changes for the design guidelines?
I have.
What was the question?
I'm not really well. Have you been able to go through the Planning Commission's changes?
The red line?
Talking to the mic.
Yeah. Any issues there? No?
Okay. We went through most of those on last Friday. A lot of those.
We didn't go through all of the Planning Commission's changes, but some of them we did. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that there weren't any changes there.
So does everyone know that Jenny sent out documents? I think Daniel has sent out documents as well. If you haven't been...
Oh, the Google Drive.
What?
The Google Drive stuff that we did last Friday. You guys all have links to it, so you can open it and view it and add to it.
I don't know that I have a link to it yet. I can't get it on this.
Oh.
But I think I can get it on my home computer.
So I think we're moving more towards these interactive documents, whether it be Google Docs, Google Sheets, a number of these things, because I think that I've come to think that when we just email each other, sometimes it falls through the cracks and we forget about emails that have been sent. And I think this is a more effective way of trying to keep on top of things that we're working on in the city. So if you haven't viewed the Google Docs that Jenny's provided or the Google
Daniel.
Sheets.
I didn't do it. Daniel did it.
Okay. Whoever of you did it, then review those. But also Chandler created a Google Sheets, or someone from staff created a Google Sheets that we worked with on Saturday. And so that's where we want to be. Now, let's go to that Saturday meeting and talk about this for a little bit, which is that we created a set of priorities. And so it is my intention to bring those up regularly, both with staff, but also with you guys as well. And wish we would have been doing this years ago. I think this is a better way of going about it. So if you ever have questions on something that is your priority and you feel like it's not getting the appropriate attention, then this is a good opportunity for you to figure out where we are in the process, because I think that what we want to do is, if your priority is on the Google Sheets and maybe it's not a discussion but it's a project, and so you know who's taking responsibility for that, so that you can follow up to make sure that the proper attention is being given to something that you feel like should have a priority. Now, it's up to the council and staff to determine whether your priority rises to the level of superseding other things that are on the priority. Because if it was a low number priority, you can't automatically zoom it to the top just by desire. And so, Mr. Bunker, do you have a plan in terms of how we're going to go about implementing these priorities? Are you just going to start from the top and work down, or what are your thoughts?
What we've done in the past, and I think it's worked somewhat well, we've taken those priorities and assigned them to either key members of staff, or in some cases council members have actually taken the lead on those as well. So I think the best thing to do is to make sure that we know who is the lead on the assignment, and then work through that person on making sure those get done. So, and keep in mind that the priorities that we talked about on Saturday are actually FY17.
Right.
So those things would start if they get funded. And again, that's up to the city council
to appropriate the right funds to make sure that those priorities get done. But those would start in July. And my thoughts are, just like we did on the fiscal focus exercise on Saturday, we had several pieces of the puzzle, of the Trivial Pursuit puzzle, that represented a department. And in that department, there were several items that were listed that they were key on, that they were in charge of. My thoughts are we would approach this the same way. We would have an assignment to the different departments. If it's a council issue, then we can put that in the administrative department, and I'll follow up on that. But we would just, again, we would produce that fiscal focus document like we have for the last year and a half, so that we can identify that and report on that.
David?
Yes.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, because I think at our retreat we talked about bringing this up monthly, but unless this is funded in this year, we're not going to even start talking about these items until July 1. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is that right?
Right, because we actually have priorities that were set last February.
Right.
End of January last year for fiscal year FY16. So we are finalizing those items, pushing forward those projects that are already funded in the budget now. So our goal is to finish those by June 30.
Okay, so a good example would be Bay Hill Park and the golf maintenance facility. Those two are funded in this year.
Correct.
So we will still continue to get updates on those, but most of that other stuff was beyond this fiscal year. Correct?
Right. Good point.
Okay. So any questions on our list of priorities and how you go about checking to see who's the lead, making sure that things are progressing as you would like them to do?
So I don't have any questions on that, but we talked about a retreat doing, I can't remember which one was which, but one work session would be the MMR, the other work session would be the goals. Are we going to start that this month with the goals from fiscal year 2016? Or the things on your list?
I see no reason why we can't start that right away in terms of taking the management report and discussing that in a work session.
On the second month of the month. Isn't that right, David? You prefer it?
I think the first meeting was going to be the management report.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
In work session. And then the second work session would be looking at the fiscal year goals.
All the things that were still on that list that hadn't been checked off.
That's right.
So is there any reason why we couldn't start on the second meeting of the month discussing the FY16 priorities, David?
There's no reason we can't do that.
So you okay with that, you guys down there?
Yep.
FY16, just to see what we haven't done yet.
Is that that's right. Around?
Yeah, that's good.
So, okay, then we are going to start that right away in terms of that schedule that we have. Let's see. I don't have anything else that I plan to discuss with you guys tonight. I mean, you have anything else?
Do we want to go through the list and at least start assigning who's going to be in charge of each of these things?
I'm fine with that. I've got my Google Sheets up and rolling. Mr. Crawley, I'm glad that you joined in and added your...
One of the things, well, a couple of things. Do we know that those are all going to get funded? Or do we know that those are projects that are actually going to go forward? I mean, some of them for sure probably are. But my thought was we would go through the budget process, which hopefully we will start next meeting with the initial budget process. Mm-hmm. And then the two meetings in March, we'll take the first and second meeting in March to talk about budget. By the April meeting, we would be done with the budget. You guys can start making sure that you have everything in place that you would like. We have to pass the preliminary budget in May, the final budget in June.
So let me ask a question then about how this process would work. So, for example, our top priority that's listed on there right now is a part-time communications person on staff. We've talked about that person also helping out with grammar requests. Will staff be figuring out how to make that fit into the budget?
Yes.
Is that the idea?
So the next step for staff is to get together with all of the department heads. We will have a budget brainstorming session, and we will look at this list that you guys generated and look at the priority on those as well, and try and fit those items that you guys have said this is a priority for our council. We're going to go back and try and fit those back in the budget.
So same thing for things like secondary PI. We'll look at, okay, what would it take to actually get there?
Yeah.
And that might include going out for a bid to get a better understanding of what it will cost.
Is anyone else having Wi-Fi issues?
Yes.
Okay.
I always do.
Yes.
I don't normally, but it's got a little exclamation point on the guest.
We should have put that on our list of priorities, better Wi-Fi for this building.
Let's add it now.
So let me add a further thought to our second meetings of the month, which deals with priorities. So up until July, where we're dealing with FY16 priorities and talking about what hadn't been accomplished, I see no reason. In fact, I think it is a good idea to be talking about FY17 priorities for this purpose, which is that the highest ranked item is a part-time communications person on staff. So that needs a lot of discussion in terms of whether we can even afford that. Mm-hmm. Or whether we use an additional person. So this is a good example of a discussion that needs to take place well in advance of July. And, you know, on the second highest one, which is reporting and tracking resident complaints. So that's also something that is going to require a lot of discussion and assignment in terms of who's going to be researching this and reporting back on existing technologies or methodologies, or we're going to try and reinvent the wheel. So I don't want to mean to imply that just because FY17 doesn't start till July that we shouldn't be talking about these issues, because I think we need to get our ducks in line well in advance of that.
I guess I'm confused a little bit about, do you mind if I ask a few questions since I wasn't here on Saturday for the later part?
Yeah.
I was at the wedding. So the part-time communications person on staff, that kind of shocked me because I wasn't here for the conversation. I guess without hearing why we need that person on staff, I don't understand why we need that. How often do we put out a press release, for instance, or, you know what?
Do you want me to take that one?
Yes, please.
So we talked that day about it. It's not just external communications. In fact, I don't think they would do press releases at all.
Okay.
It's so it's a couple of things. It would be someone who would take over all of the social media aspect to make residents aware of things like we're resurfacing this street and notify them a week in advance, or you know, we need you to start conserving water now, or this is where our water level is. We talked about how, you know, one of the things that you brought up is you felt like the water conservation education didn't really happen last year. Well, we don't really have anybody who can dedicate the time to do that. Mm-hmm. So that person would develop those tools and communicate those to residents, but it would also be internal communication. This person would go to the weekly meetings with the mayor and David and report back to the council on city issues from that meeting. And then we discussed that if that would be a part-time position, but even if that part-time, if that wasn't taking all of their time, this person would also help Colleen fulfill grammar requests because she can't do it alone right now. Mm-hmm. So it would that would function partly to do grammar requests and also internal and external communication.
Gotcha. And who would that person report to?
Whoever David decides.
Okay.
That's
maybe
staff.
That's a question for David.
So I think that, Mr. Crawley, regarding this item, that uh-huh. this is a good example of where more discussion needs to take place.
Right.
Is because I'm in favor of, I like this idea because things are could be falling through the cracks, but I'm inclined to say, let's see if existing staff can handle these functions before hiring a part-time person. I know there's other people that don't want that, but that's how I feel.
I just don't know anybody on staff that's not already working a full week or more.
And I guess I just don't know how much need there is on any given day for these. I know that there's a need in general for these things to take place, but I don't know what the need is on a day-by-day basis. Is it really sporadic or what? So that's why I'm inclined to say, see if we can find staff that can handle this, and then when the staff member comes and says, I cannot do this anymore, I don't have enough time in a day to do this, which I have not heard yet.
So no one has come and said that yet.
So maybe that would be a good discussion to have as part of the budgeting process, because what I don't want to do is say it's a priority and a high priority and then have it not really be handled because we're going to give it to somebody who really doesn't have the time to do it. So that'd be the other thing that we said this person could do is if we do, I think the second item was that app, the Public Works interface with residents, that we talked about, yes, that person also being that liaison between Public Works and you know, updating that app saying, here's an update on this complaint that you submitted or this issue you submitted. So it would kind of be that interaction. Does that make sense?
Yep. And I think one of the things we might do is type up a job description with these kinds of responsibilities. And then that would allow us to think about how that would map onto current personnel versus a need to hire someone. This is dynamic, right?
That's true. The most important thing for me is for Charles to say what this is going to cost and where the money's going to come from.
Absolutely.
I think it's important if you want to come up with that job description and all of the duties that you expect this person to do, that definitely affects how much that person costs.
Yes.
So if you expect that person to be proficient in all of the citywide PR, in addition to working with Public Works, in addition to whatever other duties, we probably should know that up front so that as we advertise and we go out to see what a person like that would actually demand as far as a wage, that we have that in the budget. Because the last thing we would want to do is budget minimum wage and then think, oh, there's no way we can get that person for minimum wage.
I can take that responsibility on to start drafting something for the council to look at.
That'd be great. And I wonder, David, do you have enough contacts with other cities to know if somebody has a similar position like this? That
yeah.
would let us look at both the job description and their pay and see what that looks like.
There's a couple of cities that I've already thought about contacting that I think they have a person in a similar position. And I wanted to look at their job descriptions and then also their pay range.
So, Jenny, I know you got a lot on your plate, but can you take the lead on this?
Yeah, that won't take very long.
Okay. And then the second one, Daniel, I think you were working on some sort of software. Mr. Bunker, do you want staff to take the lead on this, or do you want Daniel?
I really do want staff to take the lead on this because it's got to be something we can use.
Okay.
And
it's yours.
And there already, I mean, there are other programs and software, and so if you have input, yeah. we're more than happy to take the input so that we can research that. We definitely want that input, so... But at the end of the day, the staff is going to have to implement it and run it.
Yep.
So why don't you? Well, why doesn't staff take the lead on that then?
Yeah, but please do work with me and get some input.
You bet.
Okay. Maybe a good way to do this. I mean, we could use our time to go through each item, but if y'all wouldn't mind taking a look at this list over the next week. And if there is something that you would like to take the lead on, then why don't you send David Bunker and myself an email that says, I have an interest in this priority item, and I want to take the lead on it. Otherwise, you know, staff's going to take the lead on the majority of these items. And if there's an instance where you want to take the lead and it makes more sense to have staff take the lead, then we'll probably let staff take the lead. Okay. Any other questions on how we're going to handle the second meetings of every month regarding our FY16 and in July FY17 budget priorities?
No.
No? Okay. Very good. Mr. Bunker, was there any update that needed to be done in exec session regarding legal matters?
There's not tonight, and David Shaw did call me.
He's not going to be here tonight.
He's not going to be here tonight. That's right. So he asked to be excused. So there's no legal updates at this point.
Okay. So if there's nothing else that any of you want to discuss, then you're going to have about a 45-minute break. Okay. This is a good time if you got something on your mind that you've been wanting to talk about. No? Okay. Let's take a break then. We'll start up again. If you can be all in your seats at about 5 to 7, then we'll start right on time. Thank you.